My name is Antje Karin Pieper. I've been a former legal director of Western German Broadcasting here in Cologne, and I'm lawyer in media law. My question, you did not discuss about the German model this time, sure, but the state's free organization of our public broadcasting here in Germany, near to the model of BBC, has no contact with the state, and I will describe, because it is based on the legislation of our constitutional court. And so my first question to you: you proposed for your new laws that you would have a round table with the government. No, not with the government, to become states free, independent and balanced, but with your courts and your lawyers. Do you see there a chance?
Actually, you already heard about infrastructure of this channel, and this is not only a question about structure, but it's also a question about money for new establishment. We cannot just establish completely new public service broadcasting in Ukraine. There are no money for this. So our government took very easy way, and Ruslan Danichenko already told you, they, because of scarcity of resources, they decided to move from state TV to another way of TV. And we had very good chance during Yushchenko time. He appointed Mr. Stetskiv, and Mr. Stetskiv were really, really ready to transfer a state channel in public service broadcasting. But after our president Yushchenko saw it, he simply changed Mr. Stetskiv, and Mr. Dokalenko was already pro-presidential, and he decided do not change anything. And if we establish completely new channel, we need really a lot of money, and I guess our society will simply not support this at this moment at all. So we can discuss this issue with lawyers, but first question coming usually in Ukraine is about money, not about law.
And also I would like to add that I think you are right. It's not government's business to create public television, ideally, but I think in Ukraine, if we rely on NGOs, on lawyers, we will never have public television at all in the nearest future. I think it's the only one chance that the government can create, and the NGOs and those who are interested to have really independent public broadcasting system, they will enforce in any way and take this control from the government to public. I think it's the only one way how the public television can be created in Ukraine. So we shouldn't wait for NGOs and independent media experts to create it, but they should take control from the government to public. I think this is the only way. Is anybody? You?
Yes, this relates to your remark that it doesn't make sense to develop a new public service broadcasting from the scratch. I agree. It doesn't make sense for several reasons. One reason is a pure economic one. It's much more expensive and it takes much longer to develop a totally new organization than to transform an existing one to the better. I think that the strategy, the practical and more economic strategy everywhere, it has its risks. Because the structures, one, have been established for governmental broadcasting, they resist it sometimes. So they preserve the structures, and it's not easy to say from now on you're not a governmental broadcaster anymore, but a public service broadcaster. You can declare everything, but you have to transform the structures inside. That might be more complicated than installing a totally new structure. But if you take into account all the other factors, economic factors, and also the factor that once you try to establish a new public service broadcaster, a parallel to existing governmental broadcasters or also commercial broadcasters, you install a kind of competition and rivalry between the new one and the existing broadcasters, and the existing broadcasters then start to combat the new approach more as when they have the feeling they themselves are improved, also with financial money, because you can always try to to tease them by saying you get more money in case you use it in the way we want to, and then you have them on your side. So in most cases, when you weigh all the different advantages and disadvantages of the two alternatives, to install a new public service broadcaster or to transform the existing ones, the latter one is a better option in most cases. And I would say, I don't know your country that well, but I would say that also is the case in Ukraine.
Yes, thank you. Hans Kleinstauber from the University of Hamburg in Germany. I have a question to Alexander Belyakov. At the beginning of your presentation, you said that public service pretty much is in crisis in Western countries, which I think is true. But you should see something else, and that is in countries that have come out of dictatorships and are struggling for more democracy. In many countries, there is a demand for a new public service system. It was recently introduced, for example, in Taiwan. And you have NGOs in many countries of Latin America that are demanding some kind of public service. And maybe you should not look that much to Western countries with their established systems and the problems there, and see that there is a new model emerging around countries that have been dictatorships before, and public service is part of a process of transformation to more democracy. What do you think about that?
Yes, I completely agree. Sorry, I didn't look at for Taiwan, simply really far away from Ukraine, so it's not very easy to get information sometimes about Asian mass media in this way. But in our case, we still don't need to remind the same mistakes Western democracy already did, and we can learn probably some lessons from the crisis existing in public service broadcasting. If we understand the way public service broadcasting is going everywhere, we probably can easier avoid some mistakes. And I see we're already just repeating some mistakes. And in this case, I believe we should be very careful about crisis, because it can be our future in 10 years or in 5 years with this public service broadcasting. In my case, I can predict exactly crisis in 2 years after our citizens should start pay fee for this broadcasting. It will be immediately crisis for this broadcasting. And I don't really know a lot about Taiwan case, but in our case, financing is very important, and content is very important. And if content will be remained pro-presidential or pro-governmental, nobody will really watch this channel. At the same time, Channel 1 is already transferring, and we see some good signs. It's probably not so strong as before, but I followed some news coverage and news for some weeks, and I saw some difference. They already started to be pro-citizen. They started to cover some issue other news, sometimes avoid. They speak about communal issue, about payment, about prices, about something else that is very important for everyone in Ukraine. If they are going in this way, it's probably one good sign, but definitely they should study what was wrong with public service broadcasting in other countries. Otherwise, we will simply repeat.
Thank you. I want to add to what Mr. Professor Kleinstauber said. Ukrainians really have a lot of neighboring countries where the process that's today we talk about in Ukraine did already this process. So all the new European member countries like Poland, Slovakia, Romania, all they already reformed their state television to a public television, and you can see the success is really mixed. So very few countries really managed to separate the state influence from these public service broadcasters, but you can see a certain kind of process. So they got more independent from the state than they were before, and you see the thesis of Dan Helin and Paolo Mancini really hold that the media system is always dependent on the political system, and it's even reacting very short in time. For example, what we saw in Poland, when the Kaczynski brothers came to power, there the public service television changed. They got more partial on their news coverage. When they went away, it got a little bit more liberal. And so, yeah, I think there will be some kind of success if to do it, but it's always dependent on the political system.
Vera Bush? I'm an end consumer, and I thought maybe I would just lower the level of this conversation down to the nitty-gritty. As a consumer in Germany of Ukrainian television, I've had many interesting experiences. First of all, you know, the satellite, Sirius and whatever, you can't have big tall trees because then you don't get good reception. It's very expensive. I've had to call this man many, many times. We've become good friends. But the thing is, as a consumer, I'm interested in the content. And I've lived in Germany 40 years, and I was really interested, as being a descendant of Ukrainian parents, to refresh my Ukrainian, to even just hear it, because I just hear German or English all the time. So I said to my husband, priority is big television screen, huge satellite dish, and I want a Ukrainian television. You can't imagine how disappointed I've been. I rarely ever put it on because I didn't realize I needed another language, and that was Russian, to even understand. Because even if a reporter on the street in a news program interviews someone, people will answer in Russian, and it's just a normal thing. He just goes on and asks in Ukrainian, and the other one answers in Russian. So the language problem for me was also difficult. I only had 2 years of Russian, and that was a very long time ago. But the thing is, the programs just aren't interesting. If you get two people and they're talking and it's some kind of political discussion, you know, none of the programs are interesting. And the only thing I can really receive is Channel 5, GLAS, the religious program. Even though I'm not Orthodox, I watch a lot of the programs. And Rada, which has just, you know, the printed thing. Not often is anything on Rada. Then there's a business program. And then a few Russian channels that once in a while will have a translation in Ukrainian. And you can't understand anything because you hear the old sound and the new sound, and then you don't know what's going on. So I'm telling you, I'm very, very disappointed with Ukrainian television, and I hope you get this public service broadcasting and make it more interesting for people and really tell the news as it is.
It's probably about your husband. He doesn't want you to spend too much time with television, because. Okay. So because a few Ukrainian channels, they are openly on satellite, and you can receive them, and it's more than just Channel 5 and that religious program you mentioned. Okay, I'm sorry about that. I'm just mentioned that they are free, they are open, and you can receive almost all but 2 or 3 TV channels from Ukraine for free here in Germany. Okay.
This is a question to Mr. Belakov. Leaving the financial aspect of PSB aside, which I think is crucial, especially in a country like Ukraine, do you think that really the Ukrainian public is ready to have a well-functioning PSB, because there has to be some sort of national awareness and a need that's coming from the grassroots level. And I quite don't understand the motivation of Yanukovych and his entourage to implement this kind of initiative in Ukraine. Is it simply a way to channel their views through this newly created agency as well? So can you talk about the two groups, the public and the president and his administration in this project?
Well, I already spoke about motivation, and I believe that motivation to introduce public service broadcasting so quickly in Ukraine is not about democracy support, it's just about very crucial situation with international organization influence, because by all visits abroad our president hear about freedom of speech problems in Ukraine, and Anna Herman, who is actually supporting many issues about access to information and about public service broadcasting, simply need good news for abroad. And from my point of view, this is really serious motivation to do it so quickly as possible. And also we have elections, so every possible sign from our president is pro-presidential. About public, it's not about case in Ukraine, but in many former Soviet countries. There are very interesting sociological studies in our region, in Ukraine, in Russia, in other countries, and it shows that every year people more voting and deciding for former Soviet traditional values. I was really surprised. Andreas Umland sent me these opinion cases, and there are very interesting observations that people are not very happy in post-Soviet countries with democracy in post-Soviet way, because it's not real democracy, it's like capitalism with democratic ideas. And in this case, I am sure our public really don't understand what public television means, and if they especially supposed to pay for it, it will be huge opposition for many issues. And this is also questions not only about public, even about journalists. For example, we can say really that Orange Revolution was information and journalistic revolution, but editor of Ukrainian Pravda, Olena Pretula, wrote in her article that actually journalists were one of the last groups together with police who joined Orange Revolution. So don't really expect that Ukrainian journalists are so optimistic, democratic, and it will be also some kind of opposition we already see from state television. And it's really very good questions from you and very complicated to answer it, because I cannot say that our public can overnight change her opinion about public service broadcasting and freedom of speech. In Russia, they have signed some kind of agreement between, an official agreement between state and citizen. We provide probably economic wealth, but you don't ask about freedom of speech. In Ukraine, they cannot provide wealth, and they cannot provide freedom of speech. So people are disappointed.
I just want to add, I think that public, they don't care basically about is it private or commercial TV channel. If public television will manage to provide high quality content without commercials, public will accept it and public will watch it. It will have the necessary audience. And I would like also to say that we have a couple more minutes before lunch, and we have time probably for two more comments or questions. Thank you.
I think I would try from the audience part to answer your question, just the young lady raised. You know, what makes Ukrainian reality and Ukrainian situation about PSB so complicated? This is a proactive group in this area. They have no ground to promote this idea. For example, no one conducted in Ukrainian society, audience needs assessment, for example. Or everyone is saying, almost saying that public has no understanding what public TV is. But it's about campaign, it's about education, it's about asking questions of those who are watching TV. So maybe this is something really, maybe after this event here also we can figure it out how it could be like a next step to support this idea to be accepted. And then I would like to support my colleague with the question that better formulate the problem and to see the way to implement it is just to have lawyers to advise how to do, how to proceed. And also if you, this morning session was devoted and courts, right, high courts. And also in this audience, auditory, we were listening to the always many names, presidents, government, press secretary, etc. It means the only that Ukraine did not manage to develop the institutional history. There is no tradition. We refer to names of the people who might be liberal or not liberal or to what extent liberal, and then we depend on that person. I believe now we're entering the area where we should undertake different approach and to contribute, to build on this tradition of Ukrainian society to request better and democracy-oriented institutions like PSB. Thank you.
Probably the last comment. Yep.
Let me underline what my charming colleague from Kiev just mentioned. Our situation had been tremendously better in 1945. There was no German government, and we got the public system, as we call it, as a gift from our victors after a total surrender. And we took it and we used the chance. Afterwards it existed. It has been transferred in a democratic status, but it was by order of the American, British and French military groups which installed radio then. And we saved it. And don't look at the public radio and television system momentarily in Germany. We have problems. Kleinstäuber mentioned it before, but that are problems of the future. I wish you will have such future problems, and we would be a step further on. And I'm back to my lawyer colleagues. This history of the public radio and television service in Germany is also we are a democratic society for 60 decades, and we are happy about that. It is a history of a struggle of lawyers for the independency of the radio and television programs. We have a good support. Frau Pieper mentioned it, the institutional court in our country. But it is not, it was a gift, but we have to defend it for decades to install it like it is today. Now we have new crisis, we will debate afterwards about that, but I won't mention. And we are at the end. I will only give you an information to the case Schuller you mentioned in your as far as I think about that, I don't know exactly, we have to read about that. Some days after that, the chief of the Secret Service or the deputy talked to Schuller, and we had an interview. And in this interview, he confirmed the secretary that he is under observation. You must see it in connection also with the attack to arrest a representative of a party foundation representative in Kiev, who was arrested for some hours, and he came free, by an intervention of the office of Mrs. Merkel, a telephone call from Berlin to Kiev to free them. So there are really attempts to pressure foreigners who are working with you to strengthen the power of the state.